Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. The English, from top to working class, have always had a sense of occasion. Ask any husband and wife.
Honestly, darling, I haven't got a thing to wear.
But damn it, darling, you've got a wardrobe full of gowns and dresses and fur coats. But I tell you what, go as you are.
Well, all right then. I will.
Thank you, Lady Godiva. One of the most difficult occasions is making a public speech. Although not first Sir Willoughby Todhunter Brown, his speech is always exactly the same. He never knows where he is, so his speech covers every eventuality.
Ladies and gentlemen, as chairman and president of this magnificent, may I say that it gives me great pleasure at all times. That goes for my dear wife as well. Furthermore, as a founder member of the Young Mothers, I would just like to say... But, on the other side of the coin, it could well be said, and far be it from me. No, no, my friends, it just isn't. So where will it all end, I hear you asking yourselves, at every street corner where there should be one? Of course, the opposition have an entirely different... So send all your clothes to me in a plain van, marked this side up, and provided you accept two packets in exchange for one, this splendid cricket pavilion will reach Brighton by 2:30. Just so long as each and every one of us saves 12 books of stamps and deposits them in a current account in the wardrobe with our friendly bank manager, who only yesterday... Right, that's it. You can applaud now. I've finished.
There are also embarrassing occasions, particularly for Captain Povey, who seems to have been lumbered by an outsized one by his dear wife, Ramona. He's even now about to eat humble pie in the wardroom of HMS Trafford, if he's to survive it.
Your pick has come on, Madison. Another shandy, Mr. Phillips?
I'd like to, Chief, but I'd better not. I mean, you know what I'm like after two. Yes. I go berserk. I take my jacket off, insist on fighting the best man in the house, and what's worse, lose.
Crisps, anyone?
Chief, why are you acting as wardroom bastard?
Use your loaf, Mr. Phillips. If you remember, we had a party last night, and there were an awful lot of half-empty bottles of booze left. When Pertwee's not offering us crisps, he's topping up the bottles with water, recorking them, and tomorrow he'll sell them to the petty officer's mess at a handsome profit.
Who talked? I deny the whole thing, sir. It's a downright. Is if I would stoop... Look, I've got 14 witnesses to prove that it were crisps.
Actually, I'd like some crisps, as long as they're not onion-flavoured. Why is Captain Povey coming to see us?
How many more times have I got to tell you, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips? We don't know what trouble Captain Povey's in. All we know is that it's urgent, and he needs Chief Petty Officer Pertwee's brain.
Gosh. If that's so, Captain Povey will be another Dr. Frankenstein. And does the Chief mind having a bolt through his neck?
Pardon? Relax, Chief. He's got it all wrong, as usual. I gather it's some domestic problem.
Lummy. You mean it's the bride of Frankenstein?
Well, I don't know, sir. On the other hand, thinking of Captain Povey's dear wife Ramona, Mr. Phillips could be right.
I'm glad, because boats are jolly expensive these days. And so are nuts.
Speaking as one who is looking at a nut, you should know, Mr. Phillips.
Much as I don't often agree with old Thunderguts, I do hope he hasn't got a matrimonial problem, sir.
I doubt it, Chief. More likely to be financial. I mean, boats through the neck cost at least 100% more than they did in Frankenstein's day.
What's he on about, sir?
Don't ask.
Captain Povey here. permission to enter the wardrobe?
To think that lovable Leslie is the only one here who has the right to give Captain Povey permission. I think I'm going to say, no, you can't come in.
Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, I know you're in there, and unless you give me permission to enter the wardroom, I shall find your yo-yo, bend your little wheels, then cut off your string at the axle.
Oh, nasty. On second thoughts, perhaps I will ask him in. Welcome to the wardroom, Captain Povey.
At last.
Have you got your boat?
Boat? Boat? What's he on about?
Don't ask, Captain Povey. How can we help you, sir?
I'm in the most dreadful trouble. It's my dear wife Ramona's sister and her husband in Singapore. Now, as you know, we shall be docking there tomorrow.
Mr. Phillips, is his navigationals permitting?
Suddenly it all makes sense.
Pardon?
Now I know why we came to Singapore.
Pardon?
It's because of the tropical storms. I mean, to change brains properly, you've got to have lightning to get sufficient electrical charge to fit it.
Fit what?
The boat, of course.
Boat? Boat? What's he on about?
Don't ask, sir. At least it's keeping him occupied.
Now, what was all this about your wife's sister and her husband? Well, to be precise, they've settled in Singapore. And then he's doing awfully well. Self-employed, of course. And he's set up his own gong-tuning business.
Very shrewd.
Yes, but unfortunately, being a self-made man, and an extremely successful one, my dear wife Ramona thought that my being a captain was not enough. So, in her last letter to them, she promoted me to Admiral of the Fleet. sorry, pardon.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, well, of course, she was only jumping the gun a little. She even went so far as to buy me the uniform. Fortunately, I've got it with me.
You weren't thinking of actually wearing it, were you, sir?
Well, I've got to. I've no choice.
If the Ministry of Defense foreign out, say you'll be in the rattle for the best part of your puff. Oh, and incidentally, your sweet show.
I'm not so worried about the Ministry of Defense. I'm worried about my dear wife, Ramona. If she finds out I haven't worn it, she'll make me sleep in the bicycle shed for a month. And the roof leaks.
I see. Then your bicycle shed won't do for the laboratory. No, we shall have to think again. Of course, we could use our radar mast. That would attract all the lightning you need to fit it.
Fit it? Fit what?
The boat.
Boat? Boat? What?
Don't ask!
I think it's jolly brave of you, Chief, to volunteer to be a brain donor for Captain Povey.
Brain donor? What?
Don't ask!
Mind you, the other bits that you leave behind are going to rattle when he nods. Will it have an empty head, you see? Unless you're going to transplant Captain Povey's old one.
Captain Povey's old what?
Don't ask!
Look, hang on a minute, Captain Povey. Look, sir, as I see it, your little predicament depends on us not blowing the gaff. Now, if we see you in your smart new suit walking down Singapore High Street, it also means, all of a surprise, that Troutbridge is now the flagship. It also means that Admiral Fafont Bittock, aboard HMS Makepeace, by diverse methodicals, has got to be confined to his cabin and unable to go ashore. Otherwise, we're going to have two admirals of the fleet walking down the high street.
Exactly.
Right. Well, provided the financial arrangements can be amicably settled between you and me, sir, that shouldn't present any difficulty at all, sir.
Yes. But you're nothing but a double-dealing, two-faced, conniving, scheming, swindling, fraudulent money-grasper.
Granted, sir, but is it a deal?
Oh, well.
He's going to hit the admiral over the head with his own telescope. I know he is.
Come on, Amari, sir. Nothing so crude. We Pertwees use more subtile methods, sir. Now then, Captain Povey, if you'd like to place your moniker on this estimate here... Thank you very much, sir. I'll start working on Sir Henry Povey, Admiral of the Fleet, Ollie.
Gosh, Chief, you can see for miles up here.
Yes, one usually can, Mr. Phillips, when one is sitting on top of a telegraph pole.
You've tapped telegraph wires before, haven't you, Chief?
It's a lie, sir. A lie. I've never done it before in my life, sir. Now then, this little wire goes here, that little wire goes there, this little wire goes there, and that little wire goes here. This little screw goes here, and that little screw goes there. And these little screws go there, 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 and one there.
For someone who hasn't done this before, that wasn't bad.
Look, Mr. Phillips, for Drake's sake, let's get a move on. It's cold up here. The wind is whistling up the bottom of Pertwee's pants, something horrible. Unless it hasn't come out of the waistband yet, certain parts of Pertwee's are now... Darling, you can know what to do, Mr. Phillips.
Yes, I can know what to do, Chief. But there's one thing I don't can know.
Blimey, now what is it?
What have I got to do on top of a telegraph pole that I can't do in a telephone box?
Mr. Phillips, you can't get through to CAO headquarters from a telephone box. That's why I'm tapping the direct lines from up here. With this handset, what accidentally came my way in Portsmouth when the telephone engineer wasn't looking. Right, now then, I'll get through to Southeast Asia Treaty Organisation, i.e., EG, CETO headquarters, and you say your little piece.
Right. I'm all set.
Hello?
Hello? Is that CETO headquarters?
Yes.
Well, could you kindly put me through...
Hold the line, please. So I said to him, look, Captain Luigi, I'll come out to supper with you, provided my girlfriend Barbara comes out with us as well.
Hello. I wonder if Barbara...
Oh, now, isn't that funny? I said the very same thing to Ambrose only yesterday. I said, I am not leaving the building with you unless my friend Alison comes with us.
Look, it's a flipping party up here, ladies.
Oh.
Could I ask you
You're
to put me...
so right. I mean, there's always safety in numbers.
Hello. Look, yeah, could I...
I mean, if I've got a wrestling match in my hands, at least I want a referee. I know what you mean. Now, don't go away. I'll just answer this. CETO headquarters, can I help you?
Yes, hello. this is the British consulate, yeah. Will you connect me with the ship to shore lane with HMS Makepeace and Admiral von Dittux?
Certainly. Sorry to have kept you.
Here you are, Mr. Phillips. Act your little head off.
I can't. I've got stage fright. I've forgotten my lines.
The High Commissioner's broken his leg and the reception's off. Now get on with it, sir.
HMS Makepeace.
Oh, hello. Could I?
Hold the line, please. So I said to this bird, look, love. It's all or nothing.
Hello?
Either my mate Jock and his bird come along or it's all off.
Hello? Look, I'm beginning to slip down, so could I...
You're right, pal. Get it for a swim in. You're liable to pay for their booze and then walk home alone.
Look, I can't hang on much longer. Several bits of me are getting numb. Could I...
Yeah, and you're probably walking because the birds cop your taxi fare.
Hello?
Hey, birds, you take one out and 3 months later you get an urgent phone call from her and if you're wise, you're out. I know what you mean, mate. Here, don't go away, I'll just answer this. Hello, HMS Makepeace, can I help you?
Yeah, well, if you've got a block and tackle, it might... I mean, this is the British consort.
Consulate?
Blimey, that's a relief. I was just about to nip off and saddle up a polo pony. Who do you want to speak to, please?
Admiral Fafont Bittix.
Right, bunging you shoes off. Admiral Fafont Bittix is blasted in. Who's speaking that blasted in?
Hang on, where's the torch in my bit of paper?
Torch? Paper? What are you talking about?
Nothing. Are you ready?
For what, you clown?
Good. Now then, this is the British consulate, and I'm ringing to tell you that the High Commissioner...
What?
High Commissioner!
Commissioner sends his apologies, but reception's had to be cancelled because he's broken his leg skiing.
Skiing in Singapore? You start raving, Potty.
Yes. No.
Yes. And for your information, he hasn't broken his leg. He's sitting beside me right now and swilling my chin.
Oh, Clang.
Well, good evening. Hope you feel better in the morning. If not, try a hair of the dog. It always works for me. Goodbye.
Clarissa Lumley's residence.
Oh, good evening, Clarissa, darling. This is the High Commissioner's wife.
Oh. Hello, Fabia, dear. How nice of you to ring just to thank me for the pullover I knitted for your fund.
Pullover? Oh, so that's what it was. My husband and I both wondered what it was. He thought it was a romper suit, but then, of course, men never understand these things.
Nice as it is to talk to you, dear, why the sudden telephone call?
Well, Clarissa, darling, I just rang up to offer our condolences.
Condolences? Whatever do you mean?
Well, I was so sorry to learn of Admiral Povey's accident.
Accident? Admiral Povey?
We're so sorry that you won't be able to meet him at the reception because he's broken his leg.
Well, it must have been a practical joke, Fabia, dear. Because Admiral Povey is sitting in my withdrawing room sipping at some of my deliciously Clarissa-prepared cocoa at this very moment. But we will all see you later.
Well, don't blame me. It's hardly my fault. If only the chief or Mr. Phillips or somebody had told me I was supposed to have a broken leg, I wouldn't have gone to my dear wife Ramona's sister's house in my new uniform.
But I'd love to have told you, sir, but I was at the top of a telegraph pole at the time and slipping.
You mind, it's all... Look, if you want me to get Captain Povey up, this perp, we must have a bit of hush. Whilst he's consternating.
Oh, sorry, Chief.
Just a Singapore minute. I've got an idea. I think it'll work.
What's that?
Well, all we have to do is break Captain Povey's leg.
What? You'll do nothing of the sort. You can't break my leg. It belongs to a happily married man.
No.
Just a minute, Captain Povey. For once, I think Suffolk and Phillips could be right. I mean, after all, it shouldn't hurt too much if we only break it in one place. We'll make sure the stretcher bearers aren't...
Get your hands off my leg! I refuse to have it broken!
Oh, well, that's it, then. I mean, you just can't help some people.
Hold it a minute. I think I've got the answer.
Oh, thank heaven for that.
Welcome to the High Commission, Mrs.
Humphrey, darling.
Yes.
Darling, you've known the Lumleys for years.
Lumleys? Oh, Lumleys? Lumleys. Oh, Lumleys. Lumleys.
Really, Sir Humphrey, of course you know Albert. The man who has the honour to be my husband. Stand up straight and say good evening to the High Commissioner, Albert.
Tuesday morning, probably. Or it could be in the afternoon, my dear.
Lumleys. Lumleys. Did you say Lumleys?
Oh, yes, dear. Lumleys.
Lumleys.
Now, if you'll all excuse me, I must dash off because somebody rather more important has arrived.
Oh. That would probably be my brother-in-law, Admiral Povey. Now, you recall my husband, Sir Humphrey.
Sir Humphrey. Sir Humphrey Lumley. That's very odd.
No.
Humphrey.
Albert.
Just come in, Clarissa, my dear.
You can't, you fool. You're already here. I must apologize for Albert, Sir Humphrey. All these years of gong tuning have slightly affected his hearing. He can hear bongs much better than words.
Bong, Lumley. Lumley. Lumley bong. Bong. Very interesting. If you'll excuse me, I've just remembered my wife has gone to meet some rather important people. I think they're called Lumley.
I still don't understand, Commander Murray, how Pertwee's managed to keep Admiral Verfontbitterix away.
Well, I don't know the exact details, Captain. Admiral Povey. And frankly, I'd rather not.
Well, I do. I was the one who had to shin up the pole to send the signal. And this time I did slip. And lovable Leslie's poor little ankles are still vibrating and wobbly from the landing. If I hadn't landed on Pertwee, I'd probably have broken them.
The important thing is that the entire fleet, except us, and including Admiral Verfontbitterix, is safely anchored 20 miles off Singapore. So he won't be back tonight. I'm in the clear, thanks to Pertwee.
Oh, I did ask the chief if he got one for you in his tool bag, but he hasn't got one.
Got one? Got one what?
The boat, of course.
Boat? What's he on about?
Don't ask.
No, I won't, no. Anyway, it's time I circulated and met the guests.
Oh, Sir Humphrey.
Yes. How do you do, Admiral Lumley? How do you do? My wife told me that you just arrived.
No, sir. My name is not Lumley. He's my brother-in-law.
Oh, really? Really, very interesting. How do you do, Albert?
No. My name's not Albert. No, my name's Phillips.
Ah, Phillips.
Only one S.
Yes. Phillips, yes. Phillips. Phillips Lumley. Tell me why do you have to put on uniform to tune gongs?
I don't tune gongs. I navigate ships.
Navigate ships? That's the most amazing evening, this. Absolutely nobody's making any sense of this party. Now then, Admiral, I wonder if you'd like a chip.
Now then, Vice Admiral Prout, drink up. Well, we had to stand 20 miles offshore because of that blasted outbreak of hyperpterodactyl swamp flu. Blasted High Commissioner catching it and putting off the blasted reception. We may as well enjoy ourselves if we can't go to the blasted reception.
Oh, yes, sir, I agree with that. Oh,
yes.
Yes, I realize that you think that I'm just a silly old fool and have no right to be at this reception at all. Oh. And you could be right. But I happen to think you're wrong. How dare you think of me as a silly old fool, eh? In future, I'll trouble you to keep your stupid opinions to yourself, and I'll have you know that I have as much right to be at that reception as everybody else, and probably more so! So let that be an end to it!
Oh, Lord, his liver's gone again.
Come in! Excuse me, Admiral.
I doubt it, Commander Fairbody, but try me.
Very amusing, sir. Yes, sir. Well, the chaps in the petty officer's mess have been listening to Radio Singapore, sir. Mm-hmm. There's been a news flash.
saying that the High Commissioner's reception is going on as planned, and that Admiral Povey has taken your place, sir.
Povey?
Yes, sir.
He's not a blasted admiral. He's a blasted captain, and a blasted useless one at that. Right, that settles it. Get back on the bridge and order full speed ahead for Singapore.
Aye, aye, sir.
I always suspected that signal about the swamp flu was a fake, because the idiot who sent it complained he was slipping all the time. Finally, he said he was falling off.
Well, thank you, Fabio, dear, for quite a delightful party. Albert thoroughly enjoyed himself, didn't you, Albert?
Yes, 129 for six, and we're batting.
Get your coat, Albert.
No, thank you, my dear. You know I don't like crisps.
Albert, move!
You know their doorbell could do with tuning, and I'd do it for them at trade.
Well, good night, madam, and thank you for a wonderful party. I must go, as I understand that my chief petty officer, Pertwee, has arrived with the car. Been a most enjoyable evening, hasn't it, Commander Murray?
Oh, yes, very entertaining.
Excuse me, gents, all assembled, but I am parked on a double oriental line. If the Royal Navy's car is towed away, it might well start an international coincidence.
Right, we're ready.
Povey, you buffoon, what are you doing here dressed up in an admiral's uniform?
Good grief, it's the admiral. I'm ruined.
You were only made a captain for long blasted service, so you better get a good blasted explanation or I'll have your blasted guts for garter.
Excuse me, your admiralship, sir, if I may explain,
oh,
sir.
Oh, do, please do.
Yeah, well, if I may be so bold, Admiral Ulfathot Biddick, sir, Captain Povey learned on a secret CETO line that there was a plot. A plot by a certain anonymous section of the community, that had rather unsavory intentions towards you and the rest of the fleet. A bomb or two was mentioned off here, sir. Now, Captain Povey, in his brave wisdom, sir, nobly volunteered to take your place and arranged for you and the rest of the fleet to be 20 miles offshore, thus thwarting the aforesaid anonymous section of the community's bomb happy plan.
Did I? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, of course you did.
Povey, you're a blasted hero. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, it was nothing, sir. Merely that I...
Captain Povey, sir, don't embellish it. Make a boat for it while you're still safe, sir.
That's an idea. We could make one.
Make one?
A boat, of course.
Boat? Boat?
What's he blasted on about?
Don't blast it off!
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee and Leslie Phillips have been crossing their wires in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the Chief Petty Officer. Leslie Phillips was the Sub-Lieutenant, Richard Caldicott was Captain Purvey. Heather Chasen was Clarissa Lumley, Tenniel Evans was Admiral Fafont Bittox. Michael Bates was Albert Lumley, Elizabeth Morgan was Lady Fabia. The announcer was Barry Haynes, the show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.